Heading into Election Day, New York's minor parties were in a fight for their lives as a result of a state law passed earlier this year that tied the future of the parties to their performance in the presidential election. This new barrier to entry required the parties get at least 2% of the presidential vote in order to maintain their automatic ballot status in New York. And while the Conservative and Working Families parties cleared this bar by nominating Donald Trump and Joe Biden, respectively, Howie Hawkins appears unlikely to hit the threshold for the Green Party in New York. To understand what this all means and reflect on the recently passed election, we're joined now by Gloria Matera, co-chair of the state's Green Party. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So while there are still more than, I think, a million absentee ballots to count in New York, it seems unlikely from my perspective that the Green Party will amass the votes needed to get to 2% of the presidential vote, as you were at about a third of 1% of in-person votes. Is that your expectation, too, that you're going to fall short of the threshold when all the votes are counted?
I think when all the absentee ballots are counted, it will still be an uphill battle for us to get that 2%, especially with the record turnout. You know, it's 130,000 votes or 2%,
right,
whichever is higher, just to make the bar higher. Right. Yeah.
And in addition to, you know, hitting that bar, my understanding was there had been a legal challenge to the state law. What's the status of that? Are you familiar with that case?
Well, the Green Party and the Libertarian Party currently have a lawsuit, a joint lawsuit around this. So we, you know, when we feel that this legal precedent, you know, shows that this legislative attack on our party is a violation of our rights. And so we have a great legal team to prove that in court. Initially, there was another court case that we were not involved in that actually said what the Public Campaign Finance Commission did was an overreach. And the actual initial law that came into effect January 2020 was shut down. The reason that this law is now in effect is because Cuomo just kind of snuck it into his emergency COVID budget.
Right, because that commission you're talking about was created back in 2019,
correct,
empowered by the legislature to essentially make laws, and the legislature then took their work at the behest of the governor and shoved it into this year's budget.
Yeah, I mean, the legislature actually just didn't even do their job. They could have returned and, you know, at the end of last year for a special session to address this issue, just like they're not returning now for a special session to deal immediately with, you know, important COVID relief for the state. They all say, well, Biden's elected, so I guess we'll just wait till that happens, when New York desperately needs support now.
So assuming the legal challenge doesn't break your way, what is the most immediate consequence of losing your ballot status that you're concerned about?
I mean, the immediate right now is that our candidates in 2021 will be petitioning as an independent nominating petition. So what your listeners should know is the other part of that law, besides raising the threshold for parties to retain their ballot status, is that to be able to regain ballot status, it was getting collecting 15,000 signatures, getting a gubernatorial candidate on the ballot, and getting 50,000 votes. So now independent candidates will be, you know, our local candidates, right, will be petitioning as independents. And that will take a longer time for them, take a certain amount of higher level of signatures. But otherwise, our party continues. You know, we're necessary. We're here to stay. We're going to continue both with our lawsuit, and we're going to continue running. We're already organizing to run candidates next year, and to continue to fight Cuomo and the Democrats as they, you know, kind of attempt to force poor and working communities to bear the brunt of these massive budget shortfalls.
Do you envision running a candidate for governor in 2022? And if you do that, how do you make sure that you can hit that much higher threshold of signatures in order to get someone to run on the Green Line?
I mean, it's a good question, but you know, right now we really are focused on the court battle and all the contact and, you know, outreach we're doing to both our members and to others who feel that the elections are unfair and this law is unfair, and then organizing like one day at a time to build our party and keep our membership growing.
What does this mean for your ability to register new voters? Because it's my understanding that you guys are going to be removed as an option from the default sort of registration form.
So when the Green Party lost ballot status in 2002 gubernatorial election, we successfully sued to be able to maintain our enrollment status. So our current Green Party members will still be considered Green. Mm-hmm. That enrollment will be on the record in Board of Election, and we can continue to enroll people into the Green Party. That law still stands.
Will you actually appear on that registration form that people see, though?
You know, that's not clear. They have to make new ones. Mm-hmm. We know that. And we knew I think the Libertarians, when they first, the first time they got ballot status, the last gubernatorial election, it took a very, very long time for any changes to be made. So, I don't know the status of that at the moment.
And what's the pitch, then, that you'll make to potential Green Party voters to sign up for your party?
I think, nationwide.
In New York.
Right. Well, I was going to say nationwide, people are asking for more parties, more choices. I think that's the same in New York. I mean, this is, let's remember, Biden was supposed to be, this big blue wave. Biden barely got by. He didn't win the election. I mean, basically, Trump and COVID. COVID defeated Trump, right? Not Biden. So I think people are still looking for alternatives. I think our longstanding position on the issues, both for pushing for the New York Health Act, which the Democrats didn't do anything about. It's also, the Green New Deal was first talked about in 2010 when Howie and I ran the gubernatorial lieutenant ticket. And so all these things are still popular with voters. And I think the Green Party is still going to be able to be that voice, even on electoral reform, ranked choice voting, proportional representation. And we know that what's coming next is this continued economic decline for people, and that any progress that were made on these issues and demands for the people's movement and also the Green Party pushing for a living wage or right to housing, we know that these can be paid for by the stock transfer tax, which Cuomo and the legislature refused to look at.
Well, you talked about earlier about fighting Cuomo and the Democrats, so it sounds like you guys don't see it making sense in terms of taking a tact where you worm your way into the Democratic Party and become, the strong left of the Democratic Party that drives the agenda that way. I mean, it sounds like you will try to change from the outside.
We will continue to maintain our independence. We were independent in terms of the candidates that we run. Worms are for compost, not for making compromises with a corrupt Democratic Party. Cuomo engineered this, right? I mean, a lot of the talk was about early on was how he was trying to pay back or punish the Working Families Party. But he has just recently said, gone on record, as has Jay Jacobs, one of his henchmen, to kind of get the job done for him, the way Joe Pococo was a few years ago, is that...
That's a pretty strong comparison, considering Joe Pococo has gone to jail for accepting bribes.
He has, but, the question is, why is Cuomo associating with such people like that, right?
Okay, but I just want to make it clear that I don't know if
I'm not comparing Jay to Joe. I'm actually comparing how Cuomo gets things done.
Okay.
Or who works for Cuomo to get things done, right? And so I think that he really was trying to get rid of the true left opposition, which is the Green Party. I mean, he said, he and Jay both said a couple weeks ago after the election that they expected the Working Families Party and the conservatives to meet the higher threshold they set, and it was set to get rid of the parties that they did not consider legitimate. But who are they to make that decision? They mentioned the SAM Party, they mentioned the Independence Party, but they didn't say a word about the Green Party. Because we are a legitimate party who has been independent since the beginning.
Why do you feel like that they think you guys are a threat on the left? Because, I mean, from following like local elections, it's the Working Families Party that gives mainstream Democrats the most headaches.
Sometimes they do, yes. And sometimes they just, continue to endorse those same Democrats, right? They took on Cuomo three times. Silver, people like that. They're all they instead of AOC, they supported the incumbent. So, I think that they try and be that left voice in the Democratic Party, but I don't think that they are really. I really view them as kind of Democratic Party light. I think we are the true opposition because we come from the left and we are independent. I think political independence and financial independence, not taking any corporate donations, is a threat to the mainstream Democrats. And I think some of the progressive Democrats also that decide that they're going to be, that what works for them is to be comfortable in the Democratic Party and, you know, using WFP for cover.
Looking back, do you think there's anything you could have done differently in the presidential election? Or do you feel like there wasn't really ever a path to getting 2% of the vote in New York?
I think changing the law, the ballot access laws in April, where very few people knew about that and very little opportunity to get that word out, was an obstacle. I also feel that there was nationwide, and including in New York, a near media blackout for Howie Hawkins and Angela Walker, our presidential ticket. You know, it really early on became, this is a big, important election. We must all defeat Trump. We have to get behind whatever Democratic nominee there is. And I think that that was really a difficult barrier to overcome for a party that, you know, needs to be able to raise money through our small donors and our members, you know, and fellow travelers.
So you feel like with more exposure, there could have been a better chance in New York for Hawkins' candidacy to resonate with voters in New York?
You know, I always think that the more people that hear someone like Howie, and looking at his past record to the gubernatorial races, that they would be swayed to vote for Howie, definitely on the issues. Also, I think the kind of the propaganda that went out about how we everybody had to, even in solid blue states, you know, get behind a lackluster candidate like Biden. And as I said, it was a referendum against, you know, for COVID, the pandemic, and Trump, not so much the enthusiasm for Biden himself or the Democratic Party. I think that more opportunities in the media to have more candidates, have candidates in debates from third parties is very important. And that's been lacking.
Well, we've been speaking with Gloria Matera. She is the co-chair of the state's Green Party. G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Take care, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.